The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of Jesus' disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" Jesus responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. So, what does the word religion mean to you? It signifies some kind of cultural context for most people. It is a practice of faith also for most people. But is it an adherence to a set of rules, or is it a living out of the teachings of Christ and a witness to the gospel? Well, it needs to be both. But I think the reason so many people think of a religion as a negative thing today is that they have somewhere gotten the idea that you don't belong if you aren't perfect. And it is hard to be perfect. I listened to St. James' second reading and sensed a deep tenderness in his words. He seems to be addressing the same debate to people who really want to do the right thing. It seems that there might have been some discussion among people who were smug about their own accomplishment of adhering to the requirements of the laws found in the Jewish tradition, and perhaps, as sometimes happens, criticizing those who are not as faithful. All goodness, James says, comes from the Father, all good giving and every perfect gift. There can be no shadow caused by change. On the other hand, we are the ones who change. God's creation is good. We are good. We are a new creation by God's word of truth, a kind of first fruits. Remember, recently I gave a homily about this. According to the law, the Jewish people would offer to God the first portion of their crops. It would be offered to God and blessed at the temple, and by this offering, their entire harvest would be consecrated. Jesus, likewise, in offering himself as the first offering, the first fruits of all the people of God, we are all consecrated, and we become the first fruits of that harvest for the rest of the world. We are the only ones who can change the outcome of the goodness of God's gift. James says this happens when we do not welcome the word. We reject it. We are free to render it powerless to shape us because God would not violate our free will and force us to love. Love that isn't freely given and received would be a form of slavery. Kindly welcome the word, James says. It is able to save your souls. But then he goes further. He says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, Don't delude yourselves into thinking that you can earn this gift by your own deeds or in any way merit it. It would no longer be a gift, would it? It would be a wage. St. James says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this. One, to care for orphans and widows. And I think in this we could probably include the poor, the lost, the oppressed, anybody. And two, keep yourself unstained by the world. I just got back yesterday afternoon from attending the funeral of my college roommate Jim's mom. She had become a kind of second mom to me as well. And we've shared our lives, Jim's immediate and extended families, for some 40 years. Jim's mother's name was Joy. She was truly Joy. She was religious, a Methodist by congregation, one of the most loving, most Christian people I have ever known. Religion was a very important thing for her. I thought of her immediately when St. James defines religion as caring for those who need to be cared for. Joy would always keep the back of her SUV filled with food and bottles of water, and whenever she encountered someone on the street, she would always feed them. This is just one of the things that she did. One of my favorite texts from the Gospels is when Matthew quotes Jesus saying that if you give so much as a cup of cold water to someone because they are a disciple, you will not lose your eternal reward. It prevents you from losing what you already have. Notice, the gift of the cup isn't earning the reward. It prevents you from losing the reward you already have. But what I heard new this time around was the word cold. Of course, in the desert where Jesus lived, it was very hot. You could give someone water, but if it is cold water, it means you went out of your way to help that thirsty person. It means you care. Then James says, keep yourself unstained by the world. It seems that he is contrasting the word of God and the word of the world. If I choose the word of the world, I am basically choosing myself over God, choosing what I want to hear. In the gospel, Jesus and his disciples are criticized for their practice of the Jewish religion. In the gospels, the religion practice of the Pharisees and scribes puts less of an emphasis on God and more of an emphasis on the observances of rituals, which had been written into the law by leaders over the centuries. God gave them 10. The 10 grew to 613 Jewish commandments in the Torah, added on by men. Examples of these human laws were hand washing or ritual purifications after contact with persons, places, or things that people had judged to be unclean. But God is the source only of all good giving and perfect gifts. How is it that something could be judged unclean? Jesus teaches what renders us unclean isn't from outside, something outside of us, but only that which we choose within our hearts. Everything is good, but we choose what to do with it. The greatest example that comes to mind, having just spent a couple of days in the mountains south of Colorado Springs, is the reality of what we are doing to God's creation and continue to do. Obviously, his creation is good, so what are we doing with it? We have caused mostly degradation. This is the perfect metaphor for us and our virtue. We are a new creation in baptism. At that moment of baptism, you are literally a saint in the communion of saints. But what have we done with it? Mistakes are one thing, but what about those choices we positively made that have tarnished this dignity? In the rite of baptism, when the person baptized receives the symbolic white garment, the priest or deacon explains, "May this garment be an outward sign of your Christian dignity. May you bring this dignity unstained to the everlasting life of heaven." There it is, the perfect gift which we have all already received. And don't forget, in the same way that we can bring evil into the world from within our hearts, all the more can we bring goodness. To live out that dignity, we must be doers of the word we hear, not simply delight in the word. It is spoken for a purpose. We are not called to be called the church. We are called to be the church, to go out by our care, show that God cares for all his people, even the ones we might personally find difficult to care for ourselves. and bring a little joy into the world.